Thank you so much for joining us for our communion service tonight. I'd like to open us in a time of prayer. Holy Father God, we thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for this holy week, this time of remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I pray for every home and every person watching, Lord, that we would experience your presence, that we would honor and reverence you and worship you as we take communion together. Lord, be high and lifted up in every home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for letting us minister to you again this Easter season. I want to invite you, if you haven't gotten bread and juice, to go ahead and get that now. You could pause the video and get your bread and juice. But I want to begin here this evening with Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4, and verses 12 and 13. And this is the psalmist declaring God's faithfulness and God's deliverance in a time of severe persecution and pain, struggle. The psalmist says, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me." And verses 12 and 13, "What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me." And that's the very thing that God did for the psalmist, and who was in deep darkness, a deep struggle. God saved this person who's worshiping. And that person who is worshiping said, "What can I do? I'll lift up the cup of salvation. I'll worship God and lift up the cup of salvation." I want to read to you tonight, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through on Holy Week to redeem us, I want to read to you from Matthew 26, verses 1 through 30. Let's remember the Lord and ready our hearts for communion. "When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, 'As you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At that same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. 'What a waste,' they said. 'It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, replied, 'Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout all the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed.' Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest and asked, 'How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?' And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?' 'As you go into the city,' he told them, 'you will see a certain man. Tell him the teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" And he replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And so tonight is a time of remembrance, to remember Jesus' great sacrifice for us. I want to point out to you from verse 2 of Matthew 26 that none of this was a surprise to Jesus. Jesus said in verse 2, "As you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. You know, he under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the prophetic anointing of Jesus, he could even see the rooster crowing when Peter would deny him. He could vividly see the cross, and yet he chose to go there for us. And we remember him tonight. And verses 12 and 13, this woman comes with a very expensive gift, and she anoints Jesus with this very expensive gift and pours this gift over his head. And it says in verses 12 and 13, and Jesus, in response to her incredible gift of worship, Jesus says this, "She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial." Jesus knew exactly what he was facing and what he would suffer. The cross was not a surprise to Jesus. He could see it. "She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Jesus could see the cross. Again, his trip to Jerusalem, this last trip, was calculated. As Max Lucado has written, he chose the nails. And let that truth minister to you today. Jesus chose to die for you. It's an incredible truth. Jesus chose to die for you. John Stott said, "Before you can see the cross as something done for you, you have to see it as something done by you." This truth that Jesus chose to die for you speaks of your great worth in God's eyes. Jesus deemed you worthy to die for. He loved you so much, he was willing to die for you. What more could he do to prove his love for you? And so we remember him tonight. We worship him this evening. In verse 18, these words just leapt off the page at me. Jesus told his disciples, "As you go into the city, you will see a certain man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover with my disciples at your house." I will eat the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. And as you're watching, I believe Jesus is saying something similar to you this Holy Week. And he's saying something like this, "I want to have communion with my disciples at your house." You know, the Holy Spirit is present there at your house. Jesus wants to be at your house right now. He wants to have communion with you right now and his disciples in your house as we celebrate communion tonight. In verse 26, there's such powerful imagery here. It says, as the disciples were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat, for this is my body. And so the bread is imagery for the gift of Jesus and how his body was torn for us. As Jesus is serving that first communion, he's pulling and he's twisting the bread, its very fibers are bursting under the tension. And it's imagery of what Jesus is about to go through, being scourged with a lead tip whipped, a crown of thorns placed upon his head, his beard being ripped out, nails being driven through his hands and feet. And Jesus takes bread at that holy supper, and he pulls it and he twists it, and he says, this is my body, broken for you. And God is whispering through that action, I love you, and I've given my everything for you, and I'm calling you to myself. And so in verses 27 through 29, it says that he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it. For this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So the blood is imagery. The juice, the wine is imagery. The Old Testament tells us that the life is in the blood. And again, it's imagery of God giving his very life for ours. Scripture tells us God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ, giving his life that we might have life. And so when you take the cup, imagine Jesus giving his life that you might have life. The life is in the blood. And during this particular Easter season, we've been allowing the epistles to prepare our hearts for worship. And right now, I'd like to read to you from the epistle of 1 Corinthians to prepare us for communion. And so, as you're worshiping there, and as Jesus is saying, I want to have communion at your house, hear these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I'm saying is true. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, Paul speaks of his experience with Jesus. And we find these words in the epistle of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. Paul declares, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Now let's pray before we take communion. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts. I pray that you'd forgive us of our sins. I pray that you'd stir us to worship. And I pray that you'd bless this cup and this bread in every home for worship. And Lord, we pray as we take of this bread and as we take of this cup, that we could worship you in our homes this holy week like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to take the bread in your hands and hear these words once again. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Now, if you would, take the bread. And at this time, just take the cup in your hand. I want to read to you from verse 25. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." I invite you to take the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious gift, your body broken for us, your blood shed for us. And we worship you in this moment. We thank you for your presence in every home. You're so good to us, Lord. You died in our place to save us. We thank you so much for your kindness and your love. And Lord, help us in these next few days just to really dig in, get our eyes fixed on you, and to worship you like never before. In Jesus' name. I'd like to, if you would, just sing this short little chorus with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am was blind, but now I see. God bless you.